Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I think it's an underrated and under-discussed aspect of life for young men is this the alienation and the fear and the anxiety of not being enough or not being able to do enough, especially since the consequences are so severe. Like if you can't figure out how to maintain housing and insurance and groceries and auto payments and utility payments, it's like your life can be really hard, you know, even if just one of those things slips. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that's a few cubes short of a full glass. It's your boy Ethan.
And I'm Patrick, and I have to say, that's a nice sweater.
I just got it for Christmas.
It looks like a good, it's a nice sweater, man.
It's a fisherman's cable knit sweater from L.L. Bean.
Dude, that's slick. That's a slick looking thing.
I've been trying to revamp my wardrobe. Careful listeners of the pod will know that I've been very intentionally building an alternative wardrobe that is exclusively 90s prep aesthetic. And because I feel like it's timeless. The button-down shirts, the ties, the sweaters, the loafers, the slacks. It's just a look that you can have in any situation and you look nice. You can wear it to church, you can wear it to work, you can wear it out on the town, you can wear it around the house, and everyone just like respects you. They're like, "Oh, that's a guy who woke up and like put some effort into his wardrobe today."
You're totally right.
And now I've got the sweater and it's just like, "Oh, I've been wearing it ever since I got it. I haven't taken it off. It's so nice."
We went into a Ralph Lauren outlet store.
Is that how you say it?
Ralph Lauren.
I thought his name was Ralph Lauren.
My guy, Ralph Lauren.
Ralph Lauren.
I went into a Ralph Lauren. I might be saying it wrong. I could. It's possible.
Ralph Lauren.
Ralph Lauren outlet store. And Phoebe was like, "Patrick, this is totally your aesthetic. Like, you would look good in all of this." And I was like, "Yes. I just need to make that money first, you know?"
Can get Ralph Lauren. We went to a thrift store. I got a Ralph Lauren shirt. Button down, striped, university stripe, very nice. I got it for $13, I think.
It
was like a great price for a very well made shirt.
I do have a bunch of stuff that I got from Goodwill that's Ralph Lauren, but I was like, I was born to wear Ralph Lauren, but making Old Navy money. That's until recently Walmart money. So Old Navy is a step up.
One step up. Chaps is Ralph Lauren's lower tier brand, so you can go. I have some Chaps shirts, so you can go Chaps, then you go Ralph Lauren
polo,
and then you go Ralph Lauren all the way at the top. And then I don't know what you wear after that. I have not unlocked. It's kind of like the Trez of Lisieux interior castle. It's like you don't know what the next level of fashion is until you get to the
basement.
What did I say? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's been a long Christmas for me, so I can't keep. Sorry if I can't keep my Teresa's and Teresa's and Therese straight. There's so many.
You're good.
We need some saints with different names. How about this? I'm thinking maybe Saint Patrick.
Yeah, we need to get one of those in there.
Yeah, one of those. There's not many Saint Ethans. I will say
not very many at all.
Yeah,
fortunately.
I know. I'm trying to change that.
Okay, so how's your Christmas been? You're with your parents.
I'm at my parents' house. I'm at my parents' house. It's good. We got here yesterday. Wonderful, wonderful meal, gift exchange.
One sec. Keep talking. I'm going to turn off this fan.
Yeah, it sounds like a bird is in there with you.
I don't know if people can hear it, although they probably can because these mics are not.
Yeah. Wonderful Christmas
gift
exchange. I got this nice sweater. I got a lot of socks. I just was clothes. It was just all clothes, but it was good. Instead of clothes, it's sometimes when you get clothes, it's like I didn't know what else to ask for. But I had very specific, like I want these socks and I want this sweater and I need these things because I'm building a wardrobe and now I like know what I need.
I have
instead
a little
of just being like, "Mom, can you get me more socks, please?"
Yeah. I have a page on my notebook that's like, this is the wardrobe I want to build. I need these kinds of pants.
Mm-hmm.
I need these kinds of shirts. Mm-hmm. I need, you know, like here's casual, business, casual.
That's what I use bookmarks for on X, is I have a whole fashion folder on X for my bookmarks. And I just go through it and I find what it is and I send it to my mom for Christmas. I say,
is 2025 the year that we're finally going to get hot?
I don't know about you, but...
I've been hot already. I'm sorry.
I've been hot. I think it might be. You know, I think I'm going to get strunk this year. I think I'm going to get very big and swole. And I think I'm going to start dressing better. And I think actually the same thing. I think you're also going to get strong. And I think you're also going to start dressing better. And I think next year, people are not going to recognize us.
I think when we are finally re-invited to Seek, that we're going to walk in, they're going to be like, sorry, we're looking for the crunch guys. You know, one that's really scrawny and one that's really overweight. But we're both going to be the same size guy.
And they're both really annoying.
Just jacked.
And yeah. And you seem to be like relatively even keeled and normal.
I was talking to, we have a lot of people coming in and out of the house. So this is like a lot of people here.
Yeah.
And one of Trinity, my sister-in-law's friends, came by and mm-hmm. we watched like a play they did. And she was like, oh my gosh, like I'm so embarrassed. And I was like, I did kind of a meta thing. I was like, I'm always curious, you know, like what do you find funnier, performative humility or performative pride? She's like, what do you mean? And I was like, I want to ask you the same question because we've swung back and forth,
uh-huh.
you know?
Yeah,
I was like sort of calling her out on the performative, but in a way that was fun, right? Yeah. I was like, no, here's what you should do. Instead of being like, oh my gosh, like I'm so embarrassed you saw my play, you should have been like, you're welcome. I'm glad you got to experience that. You know, I was worried when I was giving 110% in that high school production of Matilda, the musical, Roald Dahl's Matilda, that not enough of the world was going to be blessed by my rich alto. But I'm glad that you were able to experience that. That's what you should have done. That's what we should do with our podcast.
Yeah.
I think
both are insufferable, unfortunately.
You hate both of them? But you do both of them.
I know. I find myself insufferable.
I find myself insufferable.
What do you want from me? I think it's depends on the circumstance, right? Because if you're in a position where you have power, doing the false humility thing is annoying and doing the false pride thing is funny. But if you're in the position where you have less power, doing the false pride thing can be seen as like cocky or, you know, whatever.
Accurate, yeah.
So maybe the false humility way is like a way to poke fun at yourself and acknowledge like you have a far, far ways to go. So I think
that's accurate. Aware.
Yeah.
Like, I do think that's accurate. Like when I talk to someone who's like, someone who's not as, you know, is not where we are, which is like very much in the low middle of the world, of the Catholic world, which is in the low part of the world in general.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, yeah, my podcast is great. I'm kind of like, good one. You know, it's like not very funny. But when Matt Fred does it, it's like, that's hilarious.
That is, yeah, true. It's a good point.
You know?
Because he has a ground to stand on.
Yeah. But I do think it used to be the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I do think you used to have to be like performatively humble as a famous person and be like, yeah, my podcast sucks. And it's like, it's good. Your podcast has a million listeners. What are you talking about?
This is my least favorite thing about Hollywood in general, is that every person out there is like, I did this little picture called Jaws and it did okay. Yes. It's like, shut up.
It's millennial. That's what it is.
Yeah.
A picture of the $100 million Spotify deal, Joe Rogan. Guys, I did a thing.
Can you imagine Joe Rogan taking a selfie with his Spotify deal like it's that lady with the PhD and the smells?
Yes. You know?
Finally got my Spotify deal. Discourse for days. Anyway, what's going on with you? How was your Christmas?
My Christmas was fun.
You're in Texas, I hear.
Indeed. Phoebe, my in-laws always knock it out of the park.
Nice.
With their gifts. I never ask for anything specific.
Mm-hmm.
They do a great job anyway. They got me a new little bag. You know my little bag.
You do have a little bag.
I do have a little bag. I'm a very large guy, so it's weird that I have a little bag.
Yeah.
But it's important that I have a little bag.
Is this another like tiny backpack or is it a...
It's another tiny backpack.
Why do you have so many tiny backpacks?
Well, the other one I used so much. It went away.
Normal size backpack.
The normal size. I always get like they're for carrying around books. And the books in a big backpack is like too much backpack, you know?
You just need to get other stuff that you're not going to use, like a notebook and a laptop. Like just you have to fill it up with other things.
Like
just
a laptop
in case.
Bag and too many things. No, I like the little bag. It's enough for a book and a notebook and a bunch of pens and like my headphones and like it's nice for when I'm doing like it could carry like a collapsible phone stand and like microphone. It's nice. Anyway, so I got one of those. I got a bunch of new pens. I got a sick shirt. Love it.
A sick shirt?
Yes. I got a nice shirt. It looks like the way that we described it is if you were going to Hawaii on business. It's like a paisley deal.
Paisley?
Flower. Yeah. Wow. Anyway, and then also my mother-in-law's sister, so my aunt-in-law and her family came over. And her mother-in-law came over because she's living with them now. And her mother-in-law is from Guatemala and told a very interesting joke about Mexicans. And in Spanish, I caught very little of it, but it was pretty funny.
You could get
I got the gist of it. Those jokes all have the same punchline, you know, so it was easy to figure out. And but I got to practice my Spanish a couple nights ago. I was like talking in Spanish and had a couple conversations. It was fun.
That's good.
Yeah, it was nice. I was like, one of my goals this week was like, I want to have conversations in Spanish, and I did. And other than that, it's been hanging out with the kids. It's been good.
Should we do a podcast in Spanish?
I don't think we could.
I think we could.
I only this week learned how to use the past tense.
Yo soy un católico.
I am a Catholic.
E tú?
Catholic Twitter.
How do you say X in Spanish?
I think it's just all the letters are the name with the A at the end.
Ixa. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're having a Merry Christmas. It's the end of the year here. A couple of days left. Yeah, this podcast is coming out, I think, on the 29th of December. Cool. Which
Feast of the Holy Family, baby.
Yes. I'm thinking about 2025.
Mm.
Do you have any goals or resolutions for the year?
Oh, man. Yeah, there's a couple that I'm not comfortable talking about because they're a little lofty.
And you wouldn't want to admit that you're ambitious.
I have ambitions. I want to take all of our things
to the next level.
To the next level. I
supercharge.
I don't know if this is realistic, but
I love it.
I want to be able to live off of this is the best way to put it, I think, without like putting a number on it. I want myself and Phoebe to be able to live off of a third of our income.
Yes.
That's what I want.
I think that's great.
It's less of a number thing and it's more of a lifestyle thing. I want us to be able to live off a third of our income, and that includes everything, right? Like house and everything.
Yeah.
So that we can then invest another third of our income.
Yes.
And then
give another third. Yes. Yeah. This is what my parents always told me, and I have yet been able to reach those ratios.
Yeah. And that's like the eventual goal. And so my income goals for this year are like getting us to that point where it's realistic that we're going to hit that in the next couple of years. But yeah, because and that investment doesn't necessarily need to be like investing in growth stock mutual funds, you know,
dollar cost averaging in the S&P 500, baby.
Yeah, no, it's what I might want to invest like stuff like into our podcast or into
Bitcoin.
Into Bitcoin.
You want to invest in our podcast?
Are people actually using Bitcoin to like buy and sell things?
No, I think it's a. Bitcoin is a bellwether for how people are feeling about tech that day. I think that's all that Bitcoin really is.
That's really funny, actually.
Thank you.
You could short things based on how Bitcoin is doing.
Yes.
It's like a lead indicator of the tech world. That's funny. How about you? I mostly just said spoke in terms of income, which is not the only thing I have. But what about you?
Oh, we can talk about, I think we should talk about different subjects, and then we can set goals for each of them.
Yes.
I think income is a challenging one for me because the nature of my work is that if the company does well, I do better. But it's difficult for me to do better at my 9-to-5 without the whole company doing well. So it's like there's a lot of autonomy, but it's also has to benefit everybody. So it's not like I can just go out and raise my income. This is how most people, like most people's jobs are like this.
Yes.
You know, you get a bonus if the company's profitable. If it's not, you don't. You get a raise if it's a good year. If it's not a good year, you maybe get a much smaller raise. So that's kind of the position that I'm in. It's just much more in my face. It's a very small company. It's a startup. I see the P&L and I know exactly what's going on. So my goal is kind of, it's broader. It's like, I want to help, help the company get to a certain revenue goal by the end of the year through sales, but also just through getting better at like servicing the client and like being able to provide more services, which just means learning more essentially.
Yeah.
Like I work in digital marketing. So there's tons of different things that I can do. You could do email, you can do copywriting, you can do ads, you can do graphics, you can do website design, SEO, like all of that is all wrapped up in what we do. And I know a little bit about all of those things. And some of them I have better knowledge, like social media and email and podcasting, obviously I know a lot about. But like, you give me a website and you're like, take this WordPress and then make it into a, you know, connect an e-commerce platform and make it so that, like, you know, there's some things that I just don't know how to do. So it's like,
no idea. Yeah.
I would love to learn more about those things so that the company at the end of the year is in a position where everyone makes more and not just me. That's like the big thing. And then if you're going to invest in me, if you're going to invest in the podcast, then
the S&M 500,
then I want to support that in whatever way I can. I 100% agree with your general sentiment that we've got a lot going on here. Despite the fact that this last year was insane for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you did a bunch of sales stuff. You got your feet under you and your job. We both had children. Like,
that's true.
It's true. It's been a kind of a crazy year. So now in theory, it's like, all right, let's build it back up so that when we shrink down again, we're at a bigger spot and then we can, you know, it kind of expands like this. Right. So I think this year is going to be really fun for you and me, especially with everything that you're doing on X is really exciting. I'm trying to catch up.
We're selling about 5 or 6 courses a month, sometimes more.
It's pretty regular. Like, I get a pretty constant drip feed of people buying the courses, which I think is in large part due to the social media and then the emails that we've spent a lot of time working
yes.
on. So
if you want, hey, go to convinceyourfriends.com if you want to know what we're talking about. We have the way I set up convinceyourfriends.com, it's a landing page. You want to buy the course, you can go ahead and buy the course. But if you want to try like a trial, you can get the toolkit for free, and then you get the toolkit for free. It's fun.
It's amazing. It's really wonderful. So I too want to take all that we're doing here to the next level, because I think we've been kind of doing the same thing for the last year on the crunch. I'd like to make it so that we have more of a reason to have good conversation. You know,
yes.
Like, at my fear,
we've been doing the same thing for the last year on the crunch because we've been doing so much else.
Yeah.
Like, the course this year was the course. This was the year of
the course. Yes.
I was born
in the year of the rat, and then this year was the year of the course.
If in case if you guys don't know, we launched a course at the beginning,
literally January 2024.
Yeah. January 2024, I posted something on our Instagram page, said, would you guys buy a course from us? And like 94% of our audience said they would get a course from us. Most of them said only if it was free, but 25% said they would pay for it. And I was like, okay, that's a good number. that's a good number. And so we tried it. We tested it. People loved the toolkit. Almost 4,500 people have gone through the toolkit, mm-hmm. which is insane.
Yeah.
And then a not insignificant number of them have paid for the course. We made a new lead magnet for it. We've been kind of learning how to do it. Anyway, people have given us really good feedback. People have been saying that they've been having better conversations with their families because of the toolkit and because of the battle plan. Very excited. I think we're doing good things. Regardless of what the haters on Twitter say.
Yes.
Call me a grifter. We're making a difference.
Yeah. But I think this year is the year that all of that is humming along, and then we can go back and we can start doing things like reading books and like having more interesting conversations on the main show, because we've got this whole other thing propped up that took us like 12 months to do, basically, which is what I'm reading.
I got an email today for the Rosary in the Year, and their Rosary in a Year prayer guide is like $25. And I was like, look, if Ascension can sell How to Pray the Rosary for $25, we can sell a course. It's not different.
Right. I've been reading this biography about Napoleon, and it just is making me so excited to read again, because I just feel like I would imagine it's the same part of the brain that gets activated when I gamble, or like if you do drugs, it's like the drug part of your brain. But it's just like, I'm sitting there and I'm reading this book and I'm learning things, and it feels good. Like, my whole body feels good when I do it. And it's, I want to share that. I want to share what I learned with the people, because I want to get back. I want to read 100 books next year, like Patrick Nevy did 4 years ago.
It's tough. It's, you have to decide to read books that are not amazing.
Long.
To hit the number. Yeah. I mean, I did a calculus, and the average book length was 350 pages. That's so true. It wasn't short. They weren't short, but it was, you know, Atomic Habits. You know, how long does it take to get through Atomic Habits?
Right. I also have some. Go ahead.
Yeah, I will say on the book thing, I've over the years since I've done the 100 books in a year, it's been 4 years, I guess, mm-hmm. right? Because it was 2020. It's been 4 years since I did that. If you are in your 20s, do that kind of thing. Do that, and then make that your year for like finding the books that you want to come back to over and over again. Take that list of 100, pare it down to like 3, and read those 3 books every single year in January. Like, it's because my 20s have been nothing but change. Every single year is something different. You know, a new relationship, engagement, marriage, children, new job, and like. Every year is something changes, and the lessons from the books that I read, you know, 5 years ago, mm-hmm. I was thinking about them as like, I'm a youth minister and I'm always going to be a youth minister. And it's like, you know, it's like, I'm a single man and I'm always going to be a single man. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, and then coming back to them 5 years later, I'm like, oh wow. It's, you know, I'm in a different career. So those books about careers are probably going to hit me different. Mm-hmm. Oh, now I'm running a business. So those books about running businesses are probably going to hit me different. I was reading them trying to figure out how to be, you know, a good youth minister employee and run a parish, but now I'm thinking about how to run a business. And so go back to books that you read in the past and like build up your personal influences, I think is a really important thing to do when you're young, because you're not going to have as much time to read when you have little ones.
No, it's shrinking drastically.
You could basically pick working out or reading. Those are the two.
I'm trying to pick working out and reading, and it just means that I only have about 10 minutes to read before I go to sleep. And
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at.
Catholic men, when was the last time you read through the book of the prophet Isaiah? Maybe when you were in college studying theology, maybe never at all. I've read through the book of Isaiah myself multiple times, and I've gotten something new out of it every time. The book of Isaiah is called the fifth gospel, and for good reason. It's the book that contains the most references and prophecies of the birth of Jesus Christ. And so it's the perfect book to be reading through during Advent, during this Advent season, which is why I'm excited to be partnering with Exodus 90 for their Advent challenge. If you go to exodus90.com/thecrunch, that's exodus90.com/thecrunch, you can get a 14-day free trial of their app and try out their Advent challenge that is going on right now. So go to exodus90.com/thecrunch and you'll start reading through the book of the prophet Isaiah. You'll start spending your day in silence. You'll be taking those ice cold winter showers on Wednesday and Friday, and you'll be diving into a more spiritual and more ascetic approach to Advent as we prepare for the birth of Christ. Again, that's exodus90.com/thecrunch. Thank you to Exodus 90 for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
I want to share my fitness goals, because there was a really great post that inspired me. I don't know if I'm going to hit all of these in 2025, but I think this is like a 2-year goal for me that I want to start very intentionally this year. Fitness. Here we go. This is from Alaric the Barbarian. I don't know if any of you follow him. He's great.
I know of him, yeah.
Reasonable standards. 225 bench. My bench is currently 135, so I've got some ways to go.
One rep max?
I don't know what my one rep max. I don't ever have a spotter, so I'd never try to do a one rep max.
Yeah, good point.
I'm in my garage by myself, so I have to kind of keep it reasonable. 315 deadlift. My deadlift is like right now, my one rep max for deadlift is probably like 185 or more. Like I think I could do more. I just haven't. Because I usually do like, I go for reps instead of volume when I work out.
Important.
Because I do like 10 reps of lower weight instead of 3 reps of really heavy weight.
If you do more reps, Yeah. You don't have to do cardio. That's the rule. Exactly. So do more reps. You don't have to do cardio.
It kind of, yeah, it helps out. So I'd like to get to 315 deadlift. Don't know how, I don't have enough weights to do 315. I'm going to have to acquire weights to get there.
You're like, I don't even have that much weight.
6 minute, 30 second mile. I think that's very reasonable. My mile time right now is like 8 minutes if I'm like booking it. So I think I could get there. A 75 second 400. I have no idea what my 400 time is. I have to like, I need to go on January 1st and like run a 400 to see what my baseline is, because I have no clue if I'm anywhere close. 5 rounds of sparring without gassing. So this is probably one for 2026. I don't think I'm going to sign up for kickboxing now. Like this year, it doesn't seem like the year to do it. But I think next year is
gassing,
like without tapping out, like because you're tired. So getting through 5 rounds of sparring without quitting, tapping. Essentially. Able to touch your fist to the floor. I can do that now. So I've already got that one.
I won't be able to do that. Yeah.
Ruck 12 miles in 3 hours. Again, I've never rucked. And I don't know how much. Huh. Dude, I made such a funny joke the other day.
People Emily's, in my gym love rucking. They have like they a do. Subgroup within the group where they go rucking at the zoo. And they like, they love it. It's just it's fun.
Emma always talks about she wears the baby, right? And she's like, oh, I'm going to go on a walk. It's going to be such a good workout. And I go, yeah, you're a mother rucker.
That's really funny. That's good. Did she make you leave the room?
No, she didn't make me leave the room, but she did. For once, she was like, that's good. Most of my jokes, she just rolls her eyes. But sometimes I have a good piece of wordplay and she's like, that was nice. And that always feels good.
When I was talking about this at dinner yesterday. When the wife laughs.
Yes.
You know it's good because she hears all of it.
All of them.
All of it. She's so tired of it. And so when Phoebe lets out that like, ha, like she like actually laughs.
Mm-hmm. It feels so good. It feels so good. Okay, there's only a few left. So I need a ruck 12 miles in 3 hours. I don't have any reference for rucking. So I don't know if that's how far 12 miles is. I don't know how much you're supposed to carry. They do it in kilograms for rucking, which I think is crazy. Tell me how many pounds to put in my backpack, please. Mm-hmm. I don't like the kilograms.
12 miles is pretty far. Are they talking about, like, is there any elevation change? Just straight.
It just says
elevation?
12 miles in 3 hours. So.
All right.
10 pull-ups. I can do that now. I'm not worried about that. 50 push-ups. I assume consecutive. I could do, like, 30 before I quit. So I got some ways to go.
That's pretty good. The United States standard for fitness levels in high school is 30. You have to be able to do 30.
That's crazy. There are lots of high schoolers that do. I'm not those girls walking the track in their Cookie Monster pajamas are not hitting 30 push-ups when they graduate.
No, I did not hit 30 push-ups.
Last one is 600 meter swim without stopping. So,
Have I ever done that?
I think you have. You swim way more than I do.
I used to swim more. I don't swim anymore. When I lived in Pittsburgh, I swam. I haven't swam since I moved to Melbourne. But yeah, no, it was. Swimming is, if you do it every day, it starts to get easier and easier. You can't do like, it gets to the point where you do 25 and you have to take a break. And you do 25, you take a break, but they do 50 and take a break. They do 100 and take a break. So 600 meters without stopping is not easy.
No, that's probably the 600 meters, the rucking and the sparring are all things I'm thinking about for 2026. And then the bench, the deadlift, the mile, the 400, the touch fist to floor, pull-ups, push-ups are all things that I think I can at least like start on the journey. I don't know if I'm going to hit 315 deadlift by the end of the year.
Can I?
But I think I can hit 225 bench, you know?
I'm not going to try unless you make me, but I think I can touch my fist to the
floor. Do it right now, please. Right. Make sure we can see you. No cheating.
I mean, I don't know how to show you, but I guess I can go over. Hold on.
Here, we'll both do it at the same time.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. Did you do it?
You did it, right?
I did do it.
Oh.
Dude, that bird is going crazy behind you.
There is a bird, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else it could be.
The bird outside. Yeah, that bird goes nuts. Every time Kelly's door opens.
Oh.
Because Kelly would wake up and feed the bird every morning. But Kelly hasn't lived here for 4 years, but the bird still does it.
Stupid bird.
I know. It's like
she's not eventually you gotta connect the dots.
They should make a phrase for a thing that has the brain of a bird. Because bird brain
Dude, whoever said birds were smart is so dumb, dude.
They're not even real. They're robots. They're dumb robots, too. Anyway, so yes. I think out of those things you listed, I could do four of them.
Which ones?
I think I have the deadlift. Did you say squat in there?
There's no squat in there.
There was no squat in there? I guess because that's standards. So subjective.
Because it's like someone who's 5'4" can squat so much more than someone who's 6'10", you know?
I'm pretty sure I have the deadlift. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I have the...
You one rep max 315 on deadlift? Right now? Today?
Maybe not anymore, actually. Never mind. The things I've had versus the things that I can do.
Yeah. I need to get the wrist straps for the deadlift.
No, dude, no.
You don't think so?
No. There is no reason for anyone who... I will die on this hill. There is no reason for anyone who does not power lift to wear any kind of brace or protective equipment at all when you're lifting. If you need it, don't lift that heavy. That's just how it is.
I will not lift 315 pounds then.
Do not lift 350 pounds with a brace or with straps or with anything. The whole point of resistance training is to train your muscles and your joints. And so the more, like, your muscles will outpace your joints. And so that's why people who power lift put on braces, because their muscles have outpaced their joints, which means they will develop problems. Unless they wear the protective straps.
Dude, the only time I outpace my joints is when I'm at a smoke session with my bros, dude.
When I'm smoking a bowl.
When I hit the bowl from the vape shop.
Phoebe's parents always have the most fire cereals at the house. And it's tough for me. Because I wake up and I'm like, I could make oatmeal. I could have yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could pound that peanut butter Captain Crunch, baby.
Dude, it's nice because I got up after my family today and there were already eggs made. And so I was like, eggs. And then you don't even think about it, right? You don't have time to check the cabinet to see what dangers lie within. Mm-hmm. I know there's a bag of Reese's Puffs in there, but I'm not going to look. I don't want to know for sure.
If I don't look, I won't eat it.
Yeah. Dude, Christmas is so hard. Because Emma made cinnamon rolls on Christmas Day, and then there were cookies for Santa Claus, obviously, and someone has to eat the plate that Peter left out for Santa, and Emma's not going to eat them, so I had to eat them. And then there's cookies here, and then it just is starch and
chocolate
alcohol.
Cheesecake and
sugar. Oh, it's amazing. I need to go on a run after this, genuinely. Like, that's how I feel. It's like, I got to get out. It looks like Scotland outside. It's very misty. You know, so I'm going to pretend like I'm James Bond in Skyfall, and I'm going to
the guy who was training me, I texted him, I was like, I don't have a gym. What do I do? And he actually gave me a pretty solid.
What was his advice?
His pretty solid quick workout. It was, so you do 21 of each of push-ups, squats, and sit-ups.
Yeah.
And I had a bar at a playground, so I added inverted rows.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. You do 21 of each, and then you go for a 1-minute run. And then you do 14 of each, 2-minute run, 7 of each, 3-minute run, repeat just once or twice, depending on how much time you have.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like, I did it and it was like, I feel relatively
worked.
Worn out. Yeah, like, yeah. It's actually not that bad. Sit-ups are 20. Have you ever done 21 sit-ups in a row?
Yeah, every day.
It's not easy.
It's maybe for you.
something that I've started doing is doing sit-ups with Josie.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, an assisted sit-up, if you hold a weight above your head, the sit-up is easier. And then you can add in a little push, a press at the end. And so I do that with Josie because she loves it. She's like, this is so fun. Yeah. And she's about 10 pounds. So it's nice. Yeah.
The only thing I work out with Peter is my patience, bro. A kid tries me like none other.
Phoebe got mad at me because I kept making the same joke that I was going to tie him up and put him in a closet if he didn't start behaving.
I always say things to Peter and Emma is like, you can't say that to him because he does not know that you're joking.
That's like, exactly what Peter said. I'm like, I'm pretty like, sure he does.
He's like, can I eat this? And it's like a crayon. And it's like, no, if you eat that, your stomach will melt. And then Emma's like, don't say that to him. Like, he's gonna think that. It's like
one thing I made sure to introduce into Leo's vocabulary extremely early was the phrase dada's kidding. And so now he goes, dada's kidding.
Leo's kidding.
Dada's kidding. Silly data.
Yeah, we get we get silly data a lot.
Silly data a lot. It's important. It's important.
Do you have any fitness goals? Those are mine. I'm really excited about them, but I don't know if you have a... You want to do any of them with me?
keep exercising. Keep you know, exercising, it's like, it's good. Just, I did, I wanted, one thing that I really wanted to find was like, I wanted to find a nice solid workout that I can do every day that's relatively challenging, but doesn't take up a lot of time. And that one was pretty solid. It doesn't have any, like, it has core work, which is really important. It doesn't have it. One big problem with not having a gym is that you can't work out your back. It's really tough.
Yeah.
The back weights. Is really hard to work out, but it's the most important thing. Like if you don't have a strong back, you're not a strong person. That's just how it is.
That's so why about Bane broke Batman's back, is because he wanted to make him a weak person.
Weak man.
Your mind or your body?
I want those TRX straps that hang, you know, and you like you do pull-ups on them.
I have not seen those.
Oh, they're fun. They like hang from, you have to bolt them to the ceiling or something, but you can tie them to a tree or whatever. But they're like, they're just like resistance straps and you can like, they're basically like ratchet straps with handles on them for working out. Hang from them and you can steadily increase the difficulty of an inverted row or a push-up or a chin-up or something.
I don't know about that. I don't feel comfortable using straps. I don't like something that's so fickle. I like the firm, solid confidence that a barbell gives me, you know?
Yes.
This thing's not going anywhere and it's here to hurt me.
I guess to answer your question, I do not have any fitness goals outside of just keep going.
Working out. Yeah. Which I think
we did have this body fat percentage goal that we set where we were like, all right, so your body fat percentage is like 30%, which is not great. Yeah. It's not a great body fat percentage. 30. Yeah. But I think it may, like, because we tried it again and it was more. And they were like, but you haven't gained, like, your weight is the same. Oh, my weight was, we tried, I know, right? We tried it a month
by your own body.
I know. We tried it a month later. Yeah. And it was like the weight was the same as it was, but the body fat percentage was like 7% higher.
Dang.
And she was like, that's impossible. That's impossible.
Doctor,
and
I was never seen these readings before.
I was like, but okay,
get up to Langley.
Am I getting fatter? And she was like, perhaps internally. And I was like, you mean my organs are getting fatter?
What does that mean?
I was like, do I have more fat around my heart? Because that's worse. That's worse.
Perhaps internally. Am I bleeding, Doc? Perhaps internally. Oh.
Well, that's where the blood is supposed to be. But anyway, my good friend Rod likes to say, it's just numbers.
It's just numbers, man.
Just numbers.
Yeah.
He's really big on mindset. He's really big on on restructuring thought patterns. I told you, I was like, my one session with him was like better than any therapy I've had.
Yeah.
It was great.
I'm going to come down to Melbourne and you and me and Rod are going to get it done. We're all going to cry and talk about our dads.
Follow Club Performax on Instagram, club_Performax. Rod is great. He's been training people for 35 years. He made a joke. He was like, it wasn't really a joke. It was just true. But he's like, I've been training people since women said, how do I make my butt smaller? He was like, when I started out in the 90s, everyone was like, how do I get a small butt? He's like, I don't know. I'll tell you. But now it's the opposite.
Right.
And I was like, Rod, how do I make my butt ginormous?
I do have a big butt, unfortunately. What with the deadlifting that I do and the squats that I do, I'm accidentally gaining some like mass in my thighs,
so your pants
and my hamstrings and my glutes. And so my pants, it's like Christmas on both legs. Just ham. It's not.
I have found that I do think that's partially what's happening because my weight is not going up, but my clothes are tighter.
Yeah, it's you're gaining muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My shoulders are getting bigger. That's nice.
Gotta have that.
You gotta have big shoulders. Mm-hmm. As our good friend Joe Jarrell says, small shoulders are for libs.
He does say that.
He does say
we
that.
We should have him on the pod.
We gotta have him on the podcast. He's a
bury
funny
the
guy.
Hatchet. Yeah.
He's a what hatchet?
It's just I don't like his videos.
I love his videos.
So it's a one-way beef.
It's a one-way beef, as it is on the internet mostly.
I want to hear about some other goals that you have. We're at 37 minutes.
Yeah, dude.
Because we talked about fitness, we talked about business, we also talked about reading. Do you have any spiritual goals for yourself this year? Because this is a Catholic podcast. We don't talk about our own interior spiritual lives anymore because we're married, and it's a little odd to share things not with our wives first, you know?
Yes, I have found that. And because my spiritual life is somewhat intertwined with my wife, and it's also right. hers.
Yes. You know? It is really weird to then. So that's a hard thing. I reckon with that often. It's like, I want to share more about what's going on, but also like, can't do that forever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause it's a little strange, but either way, what goals do you have? What are you trying to work on? Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ethan, help, I'm drowning. I need to find land, perhaps an island, a Greek island, to find safety, both in physical and digital security.
You got your little flippers on?
I got my little blue
little
snorkel.
Swimming boy? You little snorkel?
Swimming? I'm like, help someone find me. I'm swimming in an ocean of privacy violations, and I need to find a haven in this digital ocean.
You're the type of guy that would go on an excursion in the Mediterranean and the boat would leave you behind. I just need you to know that. I hear you. I think the internet is getting more and more pernicious. They're making robots that talk and walk and pour drinks.
Pour beer.
And it's getting to be a little bit much. I mean, we're going to Mars, but at what cost? You know what I mean? And I think that each American, especially in the coming years when it's going to become illegal to be Catholic, we deserve our privacy. We deserve to be protected from government overreach and big companies that are spying on us, trying to target us with ads, trying to get us to spend our hard-earned dollars on their junk instead of on investing in a beautiful future for our families and our friends. Patmos Hosting Solutions can solve that. Not only do they protect you from big tech, not only do they provide a one-of-a-kind integrated hosting solution for your business, for your website, for your platform, whatever it is you need, but they will never censor you. They'll never take your data, even if they 100% disagree with you. Even if they think you're the worst person on the planet, they have that integrity, and that's what I really love about Patmos.
Yeah, Patmos has really helped us out over the past couple of months, setting us up on our website. We are believers. We practice what we preach, and so our podcast is secure on Patmos servers, free from any kind of external intrusion that might occur. And they got a great team. They'll walk you through setting it up. It's one-on-one service, which you're not going to get on any competitor web hosting services. You go to your whatever, your Wix space or your Wordly, whatever. They're not going to host your web. They're not going to walk you through hosting. You're going to have to set up some kind of nonsense. They're going to walk you through it. They're going to help you out. They're great over there.
If you tell them that we sent you, you get 10% off. Go to patmos.tech. Let them know that we sent you. Thank you to Patmos for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
This Advent, I almost mentioned it on the bonus podcast, but I stopped myself because I wanted to actually get through it. Mm-hmm. But this Advent, I did every Liturgy of the Hours hour.
All of them?
Yeah, every.
Even sexed?
So like it's only 5 hours because the middle three are collapsed into one. So no, I did not do all three of the middle hours.
Okay, gotcha.
But I did.
You just did morning, afternoon, and evening, and night prayer every day,
and office readings,
and the office readings. Look at you,
because I had been in the routine of office readings, morning prayer every morning, and I would do it for a while, and then I would quit, and then I'd do it for a while, and then I'd stop, and I was like, all right, I'm just gonna do every office readings and morning prayer, and I was like, we were doing night prayer, Phoebe and I, and I was like, I can just throw in evening prayer and daytime prayer while I'm at work. So like in my mind, it wasn't that much of an addition, and that kind of mindset switch was like, all right, I can do this.
And then I also did, and this is going to sound like I'm bragging, but I'm very proud of myself that I did it. I also did a full rosary every day too in Advent.
Nice.
So I did full rosary. And basically what that was it was giving up my commute, giving up my podcast and audiobook during commute. And it was praying and driving to and from meetings and stuff. And so I did, and it was like, it was basically just a way to like sacrifice and give of my time, because I'm very particular with my time. I don't think I give enough of that to God. I had a priest tell me that once. He was like, young people are actually quicker to give away their money than they are to give away their time. And so the ones that aren't quick to give away their money, I know they're not giving away any time. I was like, that's probably a good point. Cause yeah, once you have a job, it's like super easy to give away money. You know, it's just hard. It's really hard to give away your time. And so I've been, you know, trying to do that, and I've maintained it through all of Advent, and now it is Christmas and I've done it. And I want to keep doing it. That's the plan right now, is to keep doing it, barring any kind of like, it's impossible to keep going on, which I don't see that happening.
Right.
You know, I did it for 4 weeks, so it's obviously sustainable. So that's what I want to keep doing, because, and the reason for that is, I was like, I'm going to, in every other part of my life, I've noticed that quantity begets quality, which begets quality quantity. So you start with the quantity, and then you start like just doing it so often poorly that you eventually figure out what makes it good. Then you go back to not doing it very often, but you always do it well. Then you do it well often. And I find that with writing Twitter threads. I found it with podcasting. I found it with sales. Like it just, it happens. And I think it's a rule that spans across disciplines. And so I think it's probably true with prayer too. I was like, this is not a good rosary. It's not very contemplative. It's distracted. But I'm doing it, and now that I'm doing it more often, I'm like, wow, I wonder how I can do this a little bit better. Like, I wonder how I can meditate on these mysteries a little better. You know, I wonder how, like, what's a different angle I can look at this mystery from? And then same with the Liturgy of the Hours. And so that's my goal, is to continue the quantity, find the quality, do the quality quantity.
That's good.
That's my spiritual goal.
That's a good spiritual goal. I'm jealous because I don't have a commute and I don't drive anywhere for work. And so I don't really have, it's hard to separate out the time because I'm just, anytime I leave my office and stop working, it's because I choose to, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so I can either sit there and like work all day, which is good because there's a lot of work to be done. Certainly there's every day there's more work to be done than I can do. And so there's never a shortage of that. But then it's difficult to then take a 30-minute break in the middle of the day. I'm already breaking for lunch. I'm already working through lunch because there's things that I got to do for this during lunch that I can't do other times during the day. So like during lunch is when I work on crunch stuff or when I write tweets or whatever, like I'll do it while I'm eating, because I don't have time to do it other times. Yeah. So then to say like, I'm going to take another 30 minutes where I'm not even getting the things done that I need to get done. I got to pray, which is nothing gets done during that time. It would obviously.
But in a deeper sense, everything gets done.
Exactly. Exactly. So I would like to adopt some form of, I don't know what it is. We've been praying a decade of the rosary. I think we did it pretty much every night in Advent as a family, except for like maybe the last couple of days, just because things got crazy. We at least would do an Our Father, a Hail Mary and a Glory Be if we couldn't do the decade, because evenings are a little crazy. But I like that habit as a family. It's just getting Peter used to praying with us, you know, and then having that time before bedtime as a family is really nice. Mm-hmm. And then I got to do something else. I genuinely don't know what it is, but I know it needs to happen. But everything changes. Like my working hours just got changed. So I got shifted back to Eastern time. So instead of working 8 to 5, I work 7 to 4 now. And that just happened like a week ago. So now I'm like, okay, all the time. I thought I had this time in the morning and now I don't, but yeah. I have more time in the afternoon. So like, what's that going to look like? But I like what you said. And it'll probably either be something like a rosary or the Liturgy of the Hours, or just 10 minutes of spiritual reading or reading scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, those are all the things that I've done in the past. And so it's just finding one and doing it consistently again. But admittedly, that was my weakest area all year for me was prayer, because I don't know. I felt the pressure of work in a way that I hadn't before. And it just made me think like, oh, I don't have time to not work.
Yes.
Which is really tough. So I need to fight back against that this year. Scary.
Yeah. I think it's a common temptation. Yeah. And I think it's because, you know, and I don't know if you're at this point yet, but I had to take a step back because I was like as anxious and freaked out about people canceling as I was mm-hmm. a year and a half ago, which is mm-hmm. part of any sales motivated role in like people stop paying. It sucks. I was as worried about it. Because I don't think I've left that survival mode stage really at all. It's easy to get back into it.
Yes.
I had to take a step back and be like, the chances of critical failure are basically zero. There's mm-hmm. there's no world in which this all comes crumbling down tomorrow. But there's still something expected of me, and it's, you know, the calls, the meetings, you know. And so I just have to do those. And then if I do them well and I get them, I can also do the other things, you know, and these other things, they have to be kind of secondary, you know? So I think I'm finally getting out of that mindset mm-hmm. of constantly being terrified.
Yeah. I think I share that survival mode feeling. It's just like the constant weight on the back of your shoulders and like the pressure of, you know, this has to be done or this has to get better. And I have to work more to get it done, because if I don't, then who knows what's going to happen. This, because I've felt that like the sting of shame of not providing appropriately for my family.
Yeah. It sucks.
It's the worst feeling I've ever had. I have a post about this coming out tomorrow.
That's powerful.
It is. Cause it's like, it literally like my job, like the thing that I agree to when I have children and when I marry my wife is I will protect them. I will take care of them. And that burden is shared with my wife, obviously. It's not just me, but I have a unique role. Mm-hmm. And falling short of it, which I've done multiple times in like the last 2 or 3 years, It has set me in this mode where it's like I can't trust anybody other than me. I'm the only one. God can't do it. My wife can't do it. My friends can't do it. Patrick can't do it. My coworkers can't do it. Just me. So I need to be involved. I need to know what's going on. I need to be able to, because all these people might leave, right? Patrick might quit the crunch, and my coworker, I might get fired from my job. I might, like, my friends might leave me, right? Like, all those things could happen. And so so I have to take care of myself and my family because nobody else will, which is like a way to live.
Certainly not an effective way to live.
No. It really results in more frustration and sadness mm-hmm. and more anxiety than it actually resolves any anxiety.
Yeah, because like our shared work is it multiplies, it exponentially mm-hmm. grows. It's not addition. It's like when we work together, it's like that much better.
Yeah.
Dickie Bush and Nicholas Cole are great examples. I think mm-hmm. they're both very individually talented, but together they've been able to build this huge business. I've been noticing a lot of like really solid entrepreneur duos recently. And I'm like, this is sweet. Like a lot of these mm-hmm. solopreneur guys, I think they're great. And these solopreneur influencers are like, yeah, you know, we do that. But I hope the future of online internet businesses are people teaming up and doing mm-hmm. cooler things.
Being friends. Because
like, I'm the personal brand. It's me. I'm the guru is a lot harder to do when there's two of you.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's a lot harder to do. And it sets up institutions as opposed to personal brands that rise and fall. Because, you know, a team that's led by two people who have different responsibilities, right? Like one of us might be more executive focused. One of us might be more, you know, director of vice, you know, like the operation side versus creative side.
that sets up something that can endure, as opposed to people who are like, I just want to make a quick buck. I just want to make 10K on the internet with very little work. So yeah, sure, you can do that. And then it kind of dies with you.
Yeah.
And then what do you have? Someone I was talking to recently talked about young men and legacy, and how legacy is a huge motivator for people. Once you get up to the age of about 50, everyone's talking about their legacy. And so she's like, start talking about it to 20-year-olds because it'll resonate kind of in a future way. Like, have you ever thought about your legacy? Like, yeah, I guess I kind of have. So like, start setting it up now, because you won't feel, obviously there's caveats to that, right?
Like, right.
You're going to die eventually, even in memory. So but it's like, at least for my children and my children's children, something will be set up that they can benefit from.
Right.
So yeah, the thing you're looking for, I call it the solo. I think that's more of a solopreneur mindset where you're in. It's like, I just need to depend on me. Like, I need to come up with my, I need to make my money. I need to make my success. But the legacy and the enduring mindset is the one that is more abundance and more shared, more teamwork stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm trying to get there too.
It's really hard. I think it's an underrated and under-discussed aspect of life for young men, is this, the alienation and the fear and the anxiety of not being enough or not being able to do enough, especially since the consequences are so severe. Like, if you can't figure out how to maintain housing and insurance and groceries and auto payments and utility payments, it's like your life can be really hard, you know, even if just one of those things slips. It's like, so it's just kind of every month. And some people solve that by being, you know, I'm just going to work at a big company and I'm going to slowly move my way up the corporate ladder for 40 years. And then, you know, I'll retire and I'll be good to go. But I think fewer and fewer people are wanting to do that, because it's
also becoming less and less possible, because those companies aren't really doing, they don't expect people to do that anymore.
Right. So that's not set up that way. So it just is new. It's just every 20 years, I feel like, is a completely new condition for people to figure out how to make a living. Essentially,
I see a lot of these memes, and their very existence is troubling. I know it's showing it to me because it's like I resonate with it in some way, and so it's probably not indicative of like the attitude of young men generally. But there are young men that think this way, so I think it's interesting. But it's like the guy sitting in bed by himself, like, you know, I wonder what he's thinking about. Or like, oh yeah, I bet he's thinking about other girls, and what he's thinking about is like, like, am I going to succeed? Am I going to fail? Like, I need to work more. I need to grind harder. It's like,
yes. This
is such a need there that I think more people need to speak to, of why do young men feel this way? What's the answer? How can they see the goodness in their work? And instead of seeing it as like a Sisyphean task, they can instead see it as like an Edenic. They can see it as like they can see themselves as Adam instead of as Sisyphus, right? That you're tilling the garden, you're making something good, as opposed to just rolling this boulder up a hill that's eventually going to fall down. I don't see many people talking about that, but I do see young men thinking that way. If you feel that, if you think that way, you're like, wow, this really resonates with me, DM me about it and we can talk about it, because I'm interested in knowing more about this.
I want to share some fun goals too, really quick, for me before we wrap up the show. Number one, obviously, 10K followers on X. I'm almost a quarter of the way there, so it's a great start. But I think that's definitely possible for me this year. It's something I want to do, and I think I'm going to do it.
I want 45,400 followers on X.
You're so pretty
100 more to go.
You'll get there tomorrow. and then the other thing is, I want to watch. I want to have a system for how I watch movies, because right now, I'll just randomly, it'll be like 8:30, Emma will go to bed, and I'll be like, oh, I really want to watch a movie. She'll be like, okay, I'm going to go to bed. You watch whatever you want. It's great. And then I spend like a half hour browsing through the different subscription services, trying to find a movie that I don't have to pay for. And I end up like either not watching one or like watching half of one. And then it just like doesn't work out. So I want to be as intentional about my movie watching as I am about other things in my life, because there are so many, like, I've never seen Lawrence of Arabia. I want to watch it. I've never seen Ben-Hur. I want to watch it. There's all these movies that are like 3 hours long that you have to commit time to.
Or the 2024 remake, Ben She-Her.
So I want to set some time aside, and even if I have to split up the movies and watch an hour here, an hour and a half there, at least I know, okay, this is when this is happening, and there's no guesswork. It's not random. And I think that will make for a more enjoyable, I'll get to watch more, do the thing that I like, which is I like watching movies, and then I'll get to do more of it. And it won't be as mad dash as it is now.
Notion database.
I do. I've been using Notion databases for work.
Notion database, dude.
Electric. I love it.
Notion's great.
Yeah.
Yes, Cal Newport in Digital Minimalism talks about what you're talking about, a system for enjoying films.
Yes.
Because he's a bit of a cinephile himself.
Mm.
And he likes watching movies. Dude, there is nothing better. Like, the only reason why I would get a TV is because there is nothing better than, like, I'm going to watch a Quentin Tarantino movie or a mobster movie by myself with a glass of whiskey. Mm-hmm. This is not a movie that my wife is going to enjoy.
Yes.
This is not a movie that my children are going to enjoy, nor should they. I want to watch this movie, though. I used to do that maybe once every other month.
Yeah.
But it's great. Yeah.
It is nice. Yeah. So that's it. Do you have any fun goals for the year?
No, all of my goals are pretty much boring.
me. You get to 100K. That's a fun goal.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to happen. I do know it's possible for me to get. So I hit 80,000. Sorry, 80 million impressions on X total this year. That's pretty what I'm cool at for the end of the year.
That's great.
Half of that was in the last 3 months.
That's so funny.
Isn't that crazy?
The compound. So it's like interest.
So realistically, I could hit 100 million impressions next year.
Yes.
In a year. Yes. So I was like, I think I'm going to try that. I think I'm going to try for 100 million impressions. But also, optimizing for impressions is not necessarily a good thing. And so I'm not going to like constantly obsess over it, but I'd like that to be my
that's
be
a
my
fun
reality.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I just want to I want next year I want to figure out a way to like streamline to make my writing on the internet actually enjoyable, like,
yeah,
I
instead of just like a brute force task that you have to do.
Yeah, because that's kind of what it's become. And you can kind of tell the threads that are phoning it in, you know. It's like, it's
yeah.
And so I'm starting to rethink that of, you know, part of me wants to see like, okay, what is this actually, you know, is this actually helping our income goals, me writing this kind of thread every day?
Yeah.
Or should I go to like 2018 Twitter where it's like, you know, 5 posts a day, two to three threads a week, you know, should I do that?
That's kind of what I'm shooting for. And it's been fun. I think I'm going to become a saint of the day poster.
Don't do it, man.
I think I have to.
I love that the statue profile pictures are all like, did you know that Christmas isn't over? It's actually the 12 days of Christmas. I'm like, dude, Catholic Twitter seething right now.
Yes.
We used to post stuff like that in 2012 and no one cared.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are posting like that in 2024 and they're getting a million.
There's a Catholic resurgence in our country. People are finally, for the first time, they're looking for.
And we are not even close
we're not
to
even
being
close.
Ready for it.
No, we're not
we
close.
We are the, golly.
The cultural tide has shifted and.
And we missed
and
it.
And nobody, yeah, and nobody, if we whiffed. Like the church was
absolutely
like.
Absolutely whiffed.
The church said, what if we did nothing about this? And I don't mean the institutional church, like the bishops and the priests. I just mean like people. Like. Everyone's just like, oh, interesting. That has no consequences for me at all. There's nothing I should do about that.
The Vice President of the United States is a devout Catholic. You can disagree on whether or not he's correct on certain things, but he at least cares about his Catholicism. He's the first Catholic, ostensibly, that's cared about his Catholicism and is in a significant office in the United States.
Right.
From what I can tell, there are very few.
As long as he doesn't
Catholic.
Sneak Sabrina Carpenter into the White House using tunnels, I think we're fine.
That's an interesting corollary. I think
yeah,
that's about
I
right.
think I would just pick the girl that looked the most like Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. We were just not ready for that kind of attention, I think. And I think that it's made me kind of black pill on everything in Catholic culture that's happened up to this point of like, oh, we actually didn't care about the culture, changing the culture.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm excited for Rosary in a year, but I don't know if that's necessarily like what people are looking for, you know.
Ascension, can you launch like a political podcast? I understand maybe not under Ascension's brand.
Right.
But like, can you launch a commentary podcast?
Yes.
Why aren't you doing Joe Rogan? You know, like why haven't you found that guy yet?
Yes.
I don't know what the reason
is. This is a whole other podcast topic. But
this is a whole let's bookmark this. If you want us to talk about this in the new year, let us know.
Yeah.
Other than that, we're done.
Yeah. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Yes, I would like to complain about Hark the Herald Angels Sing at the church that I went to. They changed the words. They changed the words because of woke. I'm very upset. Instead of saying born to raise the sons of earth, they said born to raise us from the earth. And instead of pleased as man with men to dwell, they said pleased as man with us to dwell. And it changes the poetic.
It does.
It changed the poetic structure of the song.
Wow.
It makes it weird. And my wife goes, why are you singing the wrong words? Like, sing the words that we're saying. And I'm like, I'm singing the right words. I'm not looking at the, I'm pulling a Tolkien. I'm saying it loud and proud.
Me when I say protect in the St. Michael prayer loudly, because people are saying defend instead. Anyway.
Born to raise they them from the earth.
My Christmas Mass hot take real quick is that if you get there 45 minutes early to save a pew for Mass, an entire pew, then you should not be allowed to leave right after communion. And if you do that, you should be banned from ever coming back to Christmas Eve Mass.
Perma ban. I agree. Actually, that's a really good take.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. We'll see you all next time.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.